pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 18
of God Hates Comics.
Is it 18?
I think it's 18.
I'm gonna go with 18.
It is 18. All right.
It used to be 19, but now it's 18.
No, 19 comes next week. No, our Christmas special comes next week.
We've already recorded 19.
Have we?
Maybe.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have.
That's next week. How could we have recorded that by now if it's next week?
It's the magic of Christmas.
Christmas miracle. All right, so... naturally, as always, if you have any questions for us, email us at godhatescomics@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter @godhatescomics or get us on Facebook at facebook.com/godhatescomics. But as always, I am Andrew.
I'm Dusty. Usually.
And I'm Vincent, wearing a sombrero.
Wearing a sombrero. And we're having a special guest with us this week who may chime in from time to time if she sees fit. She will also be joining us next week on our Christmas special. We have Meredith Nudo with us.
Hello.
She is a writer slash editor for Space City Nerd, Dork Shelf. She is on the Pop and Schlock podcast, who just completed
she's
there.
She's our friend.
Well, let's not throw the F word around. and you all recent Pop and Schlock recently did the Schlock Fest?
The 24-hour Schlock Stream.
We watched Schlock Stream.
All 10 Marvel movies and delivered a live commentary.
You poor bastard.
We did it. We did it. We made it through all 10 movies, and by the time we got to Guardians of the Galaxy, it was an incoherent, rambling mess.
That but from like what fun.
I heard it started that way too.
Yeah,
oh no.
That's true. No, but I from what I heard, some of our friends popped in and said it was hilarious to listen to people that were just obviously been awake for 24 hours and they were like,
right,
we were kind of worried about you guys.
Are they still alive?
Like, how you guys don't worry about us even in regular episodes is beyond me. But
we weren't able to join y'all, but maybe when you do one again, we'll be able to work it out better.
We would love to have you guys. We've been talking about how much we need to have a crossover episode at some point.
I'll do the Versus episode where we kill you, but that's about it. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, we should do a celebrity deathmatch.
I'll fight Dodd. I'm good with that. I think I can take him in a fight.
Would you be okay?
He's lower center of gravity, but I have superior reach.
Would you be okay if I did a heel face turn and killed Jake?
I'd be absolutely fine with that. That would be awesome. That's pro wrestling style there. I'm good with it.
That reference is good.
I mean, he is my mortal enemy and all.
This is true.
Before
it's good to have a
I almost want to write this and film it and just put it on the internet and just be like, this is what happens when you just be it's Pop and Schlock versus God Hates Comics to the death.
It's the beautiful thing about the internet is that there's no one to stop you.
Exactly.
You can literally do anything. It's
fun
like
to
niche
be on a
porn we were talking
podcast
about.
And not have to be in character.
No, the niche porn we will talk about in the future.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, but so what have I been up to since last week? Not much.
Sweet.
I read some comics. I've been reading, actually, if for anybody that's seen the Fletch movie, I'm actually reading the Fletch novel. It's a little bit darker than the movie. But
I'm just going to toss this out there. I always thought the name Fletch was just gross.
Why?
Fletch. I don't know. It just sounds like it's a sound you make.
You're wearing a fucking sombrero.
What the fuck does that have to do with the sound of Fletch?
Everything.
Stop trying to make Fletch a thing.
But no, I did read some comics, and I did read some books. I've been reading those Zenith Phase 1 and 2 hardcovers I got, which are awesome. Basically, pretty much Grant Morrison's first major superhero work. And other than that, I've been working hard, hardly working.
Sick.
Watched some wrestling over Thursday and Sunday. The wrestling on Thursday was awesome. The wrestling on Sunday was terrible. It was really bad. I'm not even kidding when I say it was awful. It's like the worst thing I'd ever seen. Not really, but... Anyway, Dusty, what have you been up to?
Finished up Harbinger Wars.
Of course you did.
Yeah, you know.
So how many comics do you have for the month? 6,000?
Oh, for the month? Shit. I don't know, around 500.
God damn it. Really? You fucking, it's been 16 days, dude.
I've been going...
How many did you say you read?
500.
Around 500.
That's like 75 a day.
It's around two long boxes.
Jesus.
You should build yourself a fort.
Well, oh, wait.
I did.
And I guess for the month, well, I guess more like in the last 30 days.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
You mean, so 500 for a
like
month.
Halfway through December. In December, I've read around 200-something comics.
Well, that sounds bad.
Do you think the holidays will slow you down?
Maybe. Not really. I don't really do shit. So, but now I have a job.
Fuck
so,
Christmas.
Like, that's kind of hampering things a little bit. Because I have to wake up, like, you know, 8 o'clock.
Dude, don't say fuck Christmas. Now we're going to be on Fox News.
I was talking about him.
Oh, yeah.
His idea of Christmas is to fuck Christmas.
They don't care.
I love Christmas.
My dad's never, we've never celebrated shit. I mean,
Christmas is cool.
We give presents to, like, the nephews and stuff like that.
Dude, your hair just became awesome. Like, no, what the fuck? We just got higher.
All right, Vince. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Man, I read some comics, surprisingly, because last week I had read none comics. you know what? So I read Axis number 7.
The controversial issue,
which we're going to talk about later. That was like a steaming pile of, like, bullshit, which I just sold for $25. High five. Andrew says
scissors beat paper. All
right. Anyway,
you fucking people.
So yeah, it's just like, it's just another classic example of Marvel just kind of making events to make money. They're like, there was a natural progression. I mean, should have been a cool story behind the Red Skull stealing the brain of Professor Xavier and using it to become like
fucking nope
mutant whatever anything thing guy. Sorry, it's late. But yeah, it's just like, all it is turned into hero versus villain, except now the heroes are villains and the villains are heroes.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I expected more from Remender. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah. And,
maybe he'll stick the landing.
The other book I read, because when I said I read comics, I literally
read two.
Two comics. The Punisher number 13, which I was hyped about last week, came out. I read it. Motherfucker. Fucker, was that a letdown? Because, like, it's a solid story, but it doesn't pick up from the end of last issue. It's kind of like a side story about the new Howling Commandos that are in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like,
which is weird, because did you read Moon Knight?
The latest? No, I haven't.
It's got, I believe it has the Howling Commandos in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but, you know. Doing something else.
Dumb.
It just felt weird.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just like the art was off. Like, it wasn't.
Who's the
artist? I don't know, but it wasn't Gerard's. Gerard's. Whatever you say his name.
It's Gerard. Yeah.
But anyway, it was just like, it was a story that I didn't need to, like, I didn't really care about, because I don't really care about the Howling Commandos, because honestly, Punisher is the reason I read that book. Other characters.
The Howling Commandos and Punisher does seem a little strange.
Yeah. Basically, what they're doing is that the Howling Commandos are hunting Punisher for some reason. They literally say, we don't know why. It's just,
they
we're going to pay for it. Yeah, we're going to pay for it, so let's do it.
So Howling Commandos are mercenaries now?
Apparently.
Yeah.
But who work for the army, I think, because they showed up at an army base and
comics
some
people.
Dude in army uniform was like, hey, you guys are ready for some R&R? Too bad. Turn around. You got a mission. I was like, okay. Sure thing. Anyway, that's it. I've also been playing video games. Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS, which is like...
What?
Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS.
Okay, that makes more sense.
It's a Nintendo portable handheld system. NES Remix is a bunch of NES games remixed on the Nintendo portable handheld system. What they do is basically they've got a bunch of games, like the 3 Super Mario Brothers, the 2 Zeldas, Kid Icarus, Metroid, stuff like that. And they take bite-sized chunks. It's almost like, you know, like, get 5 coins in 5 seconds. Get, you know, kill 3 enemies in, you know, a certain amount of time. But they also, it's like, alright, play this Mario Brothers stage with Zelda, with Link. Or do this Metroid mission with Super Mario Brothers. Or with a Super Mario Brother, you know.
Okay.
Or do this level in reverse. It's kind of like this cool, like, little way of just making the games that came out 30 fucking years ago hip and cool with it. So that's it.
Interesting.
It's awesome. It's really fun.
I also played the new wrestling game. It's just like the old wrestling game.
WWE
15. 2K15 is just like 2K14.
Fucking comics.
I read books all fucking time, dumbass.
You losers at your video games. Read comics.
You guys need to be reading 200 comics a month.
If I can do 40 a day, you guys can do 20.
I used to be you, Dusty.
I could do 40 a week.
Anyway.
I could do 40 a week.
Meredith, anything cool going on with you?
Oh, I finished the 24-hour podcast, and basically all I've been doing since it wrapped up is twitching on the floor, muttering about Karen Gillan's butt.
I think that's something we all go through. It's a rite of passage.
I've done it before.
I think we all
just
have.
Fell on the floor and was like, dead ass, dead ass, dead ass.
But actually, last night I read A.K. Summers' Pregnant Butch.
How was that?
It was very good. It is a kind of a semi-autobiographical memoir about a lesbian couple around 2003. So this is about 10 years ago, and it's amazing to see, and even A.K. Summers addresses this, how much the LGBTQIA community has changed since then, especially in terms of more acceptance, more legalization, more access to support. And, ooh, thank you. The main character, Teak, is a... she is a butch lesbian, and she that's how she identifies, and she feels like the last of a dying breed because growing, and when I say growing, I don't necessarily mean that it's fully there yet, obviously. Acceptance of trans individuals has rendered a lot of more masculine identified women, she feels like a dying breed. And she also talks about the experience of getting pregnant with her partner, how the struggles they kind of faced getting pregnant, trying to raise a child together in a society that's maybe not, it's not as accepting, and things are still extremely heteronormative, and a lot of it too has to do with not feeling that we tend to portray pregnancy as this mystical, wonderful, earthy thing, and she talks about actually it's kind of miserable.
Yeah.
It's painful. Yeah. And it's why we
all the guys say yeah. Like,
yeah, my mom's made it very clear to me how much of a pain in the ass I was. So.
Look, my mom always tells me before I was born, I was her first kid.
Yeah.
Before I was born, she wanted 9. After I was born, she wanted me. And then after 4 years, she was like, my body is ready, and she had another one.
Even
from that, it's good to see something that's so honest.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what? Being pregnant actually blows.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Again, I agree. Like,
I have no interest in ever being pregnant because I hear it blows. But
me too.
yeah, pretty much.
But no, and it's good to see stories that are breaking a lot of those stereotypes and a lot of those misconceptions, because it's... I've known a lot of women who have been like, this is miserable, and I hate it. And everything up to this point has always told me, oh, it's the most wonderful, magical time of your life, and you'll feel like such a woman. And
but it's also interesting to just kind of notice just in the last 10 years how relations and views on things have changed.
Yes.
Because that's where I think a lot of the foul outrage from a lot of the religious groups and the political groups comes from these days, is they see it as they're being forced to deal with these people. And I'm like, no, these people used to have to hide, basically, and not tell people who they were out of fear of what was going to happen. And now we live in a time where they're brave enough to come forward, and people don't like having to deal with it. You know, that idea that, you know, I don't want to rub it in my face. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have a problem with straight people walking around. So you can rub it in your face all you want. But just in the last 10 years, just how much that's changed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's crazy to think about.
It's like Chris Rock was talking about how with race relations and everything, it isn't that, like, black people have gotten better or anything. It's that white people have gotten nicer.
Yeah. Very astute observation. Chris Rock says all kinds of...
Yeah, he's great.
Straightforward, amazing.
But it is. It really is. It's about, like, the changing of the generations and about how people are more accepting nowadays. And it's basically people are coming to their fucking senses.
But the quote-unquote black progress has more to do with white acceptance.
Yeah.
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 Which I look forward to the time when all the older people are dead and the younger people are now the older people.
Yeah, but I see a lot of that going on among the younger people, too.
I just want you to. I just want you to know, Vince. So when that happens, I'm gonna miss you.
That's cool. I am old. Dusty's the oldest of us all. Right?
I think I'm the youngest person in the room again.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anyway, let's move on.
News.
We've got plenty of news this week. I'm gonna kick things off because Archie is my jam. But Archie Comics has announced that in a very bold, sweeping fashion. They are going to be relaunching Archie at number one in 2015 with the creative team of Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. I am going to assume Fiona Staples will not be on the book long term due to her commitments to Saga.
I understand she's doing, at the very least, the first three issues. She's also said that it's not going to affect her Saga work.
Well, they take breaks in between the books.
So that could be it.
So, but the book is set to debut sometime in the latter part of 2015, which means announcing it now is kind of early, but... apparently fans of the classic Archie shouldn't worry, as they will continue publishing new stories through their digest books. Hold on, I think I have to sneeze. Maybe not.
This is amazing.
There it is. All right.
You're welcome.
But Archie has actually been really interesting, because they've done a lot of very kind of strangely, not strangely, but very progressive moves in their books. They've introduced gay characters. They brought in a lot of high-profile talent to write stories.
Wasn't Kevin Keller military also?
Yeah,
like, yeah, I think so.
Military? Yeah,
and then in the Life with Archie series, Archie actually takes a bullet for Kevin Keller and ends up dying in the process. And naturally, go ahead.
Had that relationship with Valerie from Josie and the Pussycats. They
yes,
were interracial.
Interracial. And then he's even done, and they've left plenty of room for the more ridiculous, where, you know, Archie meets Kiss and. All that sort of stuff. And naturally, Archie meets Punisher is the greatest crossover of all time. I'll tell you that right now.
I didn't say it wasn't. I just said it.
No, that's a side note. The way they found a way for Archie to realistically run into the Punisher was so awesome.
I love
it was
how
stupid.
You're worried about realism in a comic book.
No, like, it was just the thing that shouldn't have worked, but they somehow made it work. But, and naturally, we don't have to say anything more about our love for Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah.
That's
or Sabrina, which is part of the new kind of revamping.
So, and a lot of this, they say, is coming from like Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's kind of, he's the writer on Sabrina and Afterlife with Archie. He's the CCO, he's the chief creative officer of Archie. He's writing the pilot for the new Riverdale series, which will be Archie by the way of Twin Peaks, apparently, which sounds awesome.
That sounds amazing.
But this is the next step, apparently, and you know, Mark Waid is... one of the greatest writers in comics. He can write pretty much anything, and I'll read it. But
I love this story just because I'm part of it. But someone once asked me, like, what would be like your dream comic, whatever, like your dream property with your dream writing, your dream artist, and I said Rocketeer with Mark Waid and Chris Somney, and that happened. Yeah. And I lost my shit, and it was amazing.
It was.
So
it was
good.
I'm going to take our next one as well, since I am the wrestling fan here.
I just have to say, I coined his name.
He did. Charles Montgomery Punk, also known as CM Punk. The definition of the CM has many names, but we are going to be on this show, he's Charles Montgomery Punk. They announced he's going to be doing a story in Thor Annual number 1 with Rob Guillory. He's apparently going to keep that going, and he'll be contributing... to Vertigo's Strange Sports Stories Anthology due out in March. This is apparently an old series that DC used to have, which doesn't surprise me at all.
It's an app like everything.
Yeah, and his artist on the book is yet unknown.
Zombie.
Lots of them. G.I. Zombie, yes.
Yeah.
But his artist is on the book is yet still unknown, but he'll be featured in the book alongside Brian Azzarello, Paul Pope, Gilbert Hernandez, Nick Dragota, and Ivan Brandon. Punk has said... Oh, yeah, it's a great line of a talent. But Punk has said that he plans to continue writing comics, but he also recently signed a multi-fight deal with UFC, so we'll see how much that actually pans out. But that weird sports stories anthology will drop in March 2015.
Don't they have, like, a weird love stories that they should be writing? Because that'd be awesome. I think that'd be awesome.
I think they already did that one.
Oh.
I don't know.
Cool. I got this.
All right.
DC cancels a whole horde of books in wake of Convergence.
I really just wanted to use the word horde.
Yeah, I like that. While we were expecting relaunches following Convergence for some of these, 13 DC books will be canceled in March, and they are Green Lantern Corps, Green Lantern The New Guardians, Red Lanterns, G.I. Zombie, Aquaman and the Others, Infinity Man and the Forever People, Clarion, which I didn't even know was a
thing. It's on like issue 3.
I think it's gonna finish at 6.
Oh, nice. Secret Origins, Batwoman, Trinity of Sin, World's Finest, Arkham Manor, and Swamp Thing. Naturally, Earth 2, World's End, Future's End, and Batman Eternal are all ending that month. This leaves 25 new slots for new books following Convergence.
So yeah, gonna be a big kind of... And this has been kind of been rumored coming out of Convergence, the idea that they were gonna kind of use it to kind of shuffle the deck, or reshuffle some of the deck, as it were, kind of use it as a chance to launch a whole bunch of new stuff. So I imagine you'll see new updated versions of some of these, and we may still see some new stuff as well, including the maybe the rumored Dark Knight 3, maybe the rumored Mark Silvestri Batman book. No telling.
What do you think? I mean, if they did Dark Knight 3, would that be part of the New 52? Or
probably not, but I could see it being launched in the wake of Convergence. Yeah. But we'll see.
Are they still at 52 books?
No.
No? More? Less?
I think it's less. Okay. I don't know.
Why did they still call it the New 52? Like, that's one thing that's
puzzling me. I mean, they've been striving to publish 52 books. You know, so it's kind of strange with what they're doing with Convergence. They may...
Because Convergence is 40 series.
Yeah.
And so then the main Convergence series, which is 4, so that's 44, but... so we'll see. But like I said, a lot of stuff is going to be going on behind the scenes there, and so a lot of people are saying that they see some interesting talent from webcomics, from indie scenes, might all be getting a chance to kind of flex their muscles in the DC universe. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll get some announcements about that in the new year, especially as we get towards the summer, as we start finding out what DC's plans are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rat Queens gets a new artist. Following the controversy surrounding Rock Upchurch leaving the book, Image has announced that... Man, I'm just going to go with Stejapan... Sedgwick.
I think it's Stefan... Is it Stepan Sedgwick?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm sure it's Stefan, but seriously, S-T-J-E. Stejapan.
God, the art he's posted so far from that has been gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, the guy's great. I really actually love his art.
I really... It's kind of sad that he's coming under the book, coming to the book under such circumstances, though.
Like, yeah.
It's really, really upsetting what happened, and I'm glad the book's finding a way to move forward, though.
God, yes, that is an amazing. Rat Queens is amazing.
It's and it's kind of that, you know, people get that kind of that idolization of the creators on these books. We kind of view them as these kind of these almost celebrities.
They can do no wrong.
They can do no wrong, and so when something like this breaks, it just kind of shatters that image. Except Stan Sakai, that man is supernatural. That man is literally, if there's a man you should strive to be in your life, it's Stan Sakai.
So Cedric's gonna be handling 9/11.
At least.
With a new one-shot featuring art from Tess Fowler that will happen before he takes over.
Yeah. Basically, right now the book's on hold until he comes back with 9. I think that's in March. I think 9's gonna come out, and then the one-shot, I think, either drops this month or next. So, we'll see. And Tess Fowler's done various other series and is also very famously known as the one who called out Brian Wood.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Maybe it would be cool if she took over as the ongoing, you know? I wouldn't mind that.
That would be cool. Moon Knight gets a new creative team.
Speaking of Brian Wood, didn't mean to do that.
Segway. It seems Brian Wood and Greg Smallwood, interesting, are joining Warren Ellis in only staying 6 issues on Moon Knight. Colin Bunn and artist Ron Akins will take over. Akins? A-C-K-I-N-S? Whatever. That guy will take over the series for 5 issues, starting with issue 13. Bunn is keeping the details slim at this time, but their arc will follow the repercussions of Woods.
I actually read a pretty in-depth interview with Bunn about his run on Moon Knight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty interesting. He had this, like, pitch a long time ago for, like, the Fists of Khonshu. He's going to be examining the relationship with Khonshu and Moon Knight and introducing a bunch of new villains and stuff like
and
that.
And it's kind
of
like 5 done in ones, I think. Like
it's also going to be 5
done in ones. Wasn't Ellis's kind of like that, though?
Ellis's was. It was 6 done in ones.
Yeah. And it's like a Secret Avengers was that way, too. Mm-hmm.
Which I love the Secret Avengers one.
Yeah, and I love when Willis...
Willis. That's his new name, Willis.
No, look, it's a very good portmanteau. I'm going to take credit for it. You're welcome, Internet. No, I love what Ellis does. It's done in ones. His one is Secret
That's
Vision.
most of his Marvel work of recent years has been kind of done in ones.
Filling issues and stuff like that. Yeah. But, I mean, Moon Knight was a bit more, but.
But any fans of classic Spider-Man now?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Pretty excited. Jerry Conway is going to be making his return to Spider-Man. Jerry Conway is famous for, he's the guy who took over Spider-Man after Stan Lee left. Mm-hmm. And he's famous for, he's written a lot of very classic Spider-Man stories, but he's probably most famously known for writing The Death of Gwen Stacy, which was all him. And then he also very famously created Firestorm, who was DC's Spider-Man for a long time. So that'll be starting in March 2015, after Spider-Verse and kind of in between issues of Slot Spider-Man, because apparently this takes place, it is in continuity, it's not like a Spider-Man Forever kind of thing. So he will, Carlo Barbieri, who's again a more classic, modern, not classic, but more modern artist, he's going to illustrate the series, and it's basically going to be dealing, Spider-Man's going to kind of deal with some criminal underground stuff. The details, like I said, are kind of slim,
actually
but...
interesting about Conway, too, he didn't stop writing, he's just been writing for, I believe, in Law and Order. For like 5 years now.
Yeah, he wrote other stuff. Like, it's not unheard of to do that.
TV shows for the last few years, and so now he's coming back to comics.
What's his name? Was a Law and Order writer.
Christos Gage.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
He started off as a Law and Order writer, and that's actually kind of weird for a comic writer to switch to that. But several guys have started off working on like Law and Order or CSI, stuff like that.
Well, like Jeff King, who's going to be writing Convergence, he actually started off, he did television. He did, was it White Collar, I think. So he's going to be making the jump from TV to comics.
Yeah, Gage actually said that a lot of what he learned while doing Law and Order, psychology-wise, was fed into what he did Avengers Academy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Lot of lessons you learn with that stuff is stuff you can apply elsewhere.
Yeah, there was a lot of good opportunities for psychoanalytic crit in Avengers Academy.
Yeah, I really like Christos Gage. He's a really good author. I've liked some of his creator-owned stuff that he's done. Absolution.
Any Slot's go-to fill-in guy?
Yeah. You know, I actually wasn't a... Okay, granted, I read one issue of Absolution. I wasn't the biggest fan.
It was strange.
He also did he do Dead Man's Run?
I think so.
Yeah, I also wasn't a fan of that. So,
did you do that book? Well, it sucked too.
The funny thing is, I read the Zero issue and was like pumped on it, and then I read the number one issue and I was like, not so pumped anymore.
Did anybody here ever read Killer of Demons?
Nope.
No? No one's read Killer of Demons? Yeah, see, that sucks, because that was a great fucking comic, but nobody fucking bought that comic. And it was Chris Yost, trying to go, make his own Image comics and do his own creator own stuff. And as I said, 2,000 people bought that comic. And it's like, well, that sucks. You know?
Well, I'll tell you what I did love from Christos Gage was his G.I. Joe Cobra run, where he worked with Mike Costa. Shit was fucking amazing.
Cool.
Like, seriously, go pick it up. I think IDW released a paperback of all of that stuff.
I believe you're
together,
right. Yeah.
And it's really good. It's definitely worth the read.
Cool.
Ryan Bucciolato takes on Injustice.
The Booch.
The Booch. After steering the Injustice Gods Among Us ship for 2+ years, I love the way you write this stuff, writer Tom Taylor will step down and former Flash and current Detective Comics co-writer Brian Bucciolato will take over. DC Comics is citing Taylor's increasingly busy schedule as the primary reason for his departure. Bucciolato has said he'll keep with Taylor's overall plan for year 3. But will likely move in his own direction in the future.
This kind of sucks, because Taylor has made that book way better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
Like, he literally took a video game tie-in comic and made it one of the best books that DC publishes.
Yeah. The art's still kind of cool, though.
Well, yeah, because they're getting kind of... They're not even getting the B-listers. No offense to anyone, but, Mike S. Miller... Well, I think it's, Mike S. Miller is one of those artists. He actually used to be, a big DC artist that drew for, Superman. I had just a Superman drawn by him from, the mid-early 2000s. And, the reason he kind of got ousted is because he's it's kind of a nut bar. He's very uber classic, uber-conservative, classic traditional family stuff. And
that's cool.
Got into some controversy because of that. But, it's whatever.
That's why I didn't buy the comic.
So probably not someone that would be reading
pretty much. Because of
probably not. probably not he's somebody that listens to a podcast called God Hates Comics either, so I think we're safe. Yeah. But
it will not be coming on our show anytime soon.
You know what? Whatever your name is, come at me, bro.
All right, I'm going to handle this one. The Sony hack. As you guys may or may not have heard, Sony in it has been cited as a retaliation of the interview.
Which I think looks hilarious.
Although recently Seth Rogen and they've had to cancel their press tour out of threats, and they're allowing theaters to pull the movie because of threats. And
well, when an entire country is basically telling you, "Hey, man, we're gonna fuck your shit up if you watch this or show this," yeah, it's kind of scary.
But
North Korea also can't really get a missile out of North Korea.
Yeah, so no. I
mean, either way.
The U.S.
So funny story. I was in Japan and North Korea.
That is funny.
No, I'm not done with my story yet. So Japan and North Korea sent some threats while I was there. And
to you?
No, of course not to
you. Fuck you in particular.
It's cute how you think I'm important.
I never thought you were important.
That was actually our confusion.
Yeah, I was like, what?
No, they issued some threats against Japan. And, you know, me being a post-9/11 American was like, why is nobody panicking? Why? I asked a friend of mine that I was staying with. I was like, why is no one, like, freaking out or running?
This happens all the time.
Yeah. His response was, oh, North Korea makes death threats against us. Like, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's every day.
I was actually a little concerned they were going to miss it this week.
That's basically the attitude there. So, I mean, it's...
Basically, I've heard that basically, like, when they want food, they, like, threaten us with nukes. It's like, we're coming for you.
Anyway, the Sony hack, which has revealed a lot of tidbits about... It's the one that revealed that Sony and Marvel Studios did have talks about Marvel Studios taking over Spider-Man, amongst other things. The recent set of exchanges confirms some talks of rebooting the franchise again, but doing so without doing another origin tale. A wish list of attached directors included Brad Bird, Edgar Wright, Guardians of the Galaxy's James Gunn, as well as the Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. I would easily say that all of those are massive long shots, as I can't really see any of them taking on the job.
Dude,
but
I would absolutely love to see a Brad Bird directed, well, shit, anything.
Yeah.
But
I'd watch a Brad Bird amazing. Super... Well, I mean, Brad Bird made Incredibles, which is the best Fantastic Four movie we've ever gotten, so... another exchange between Sony Pictures Entertainment's co-chairman Amy Pascal from Jeff Robinoff, who's the head of Studio 8, which Sony recently bought, specifically name drops Craven's Last Hunt as a potential candidate for the big screen. He specifically mentioned that CBR had that as number one in the list of all-time Spider-Man stories, and that it could be rife for adapting to screen, which I'd absolutely
and
be okay with.
If Raimi had his way, it would have been Spider-Man 3.
And it could have been Bruce Campbell!
Yeah.
Ah!
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
I don't know if Bruce
Craven?
Campbell can do that.
I don't know.
But
he was the
wrestling promoter.
Yeah, he
can't.
He was a different person in every movie, though.
Yeah,
like he's in one as the wrestling announcer. He's the doorman in Spider-Man 2, and then he's the French waiter in Spider-Man 2.
Although really you could have easily made the argument that Craven was, you know, staking him out. Tracking him.
Oh man.
Undercover.
Well, okay.
So, I mean,
Oh man.
It's a great statement that he plays the most important character in the Spider-Man movies because everything he does pushes Peter Parker to end up being better.
Well, in the first one, he gives him his name. In the second one, he makes him miss Mary Jane's play. And in the third one, he's there when Mary Jane dumps him.
Yeah. He's there the most.
That's stretching it. Anyway.
Yes.
So they did specifically name drop Craven's Last Hunt as a potential for the big screen. I'd be fine with that. That'd be cool.
You guys remember that Old Spice commercial that Bruce Campbell did?
Where he was singing Hungry Like the Wolf?
I don't think, was that
it? Yeah, that was one. He did several.
He did one where he was like in front of a fireplace.
Oh, and he walks down the whole long thing and sits down on an identical chair on the other end.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Further emails from this hack, these are somehow related to Fox, Sony Fox somehow, have included that Simon Kinberg, who's basically kind of Fox's Kevin Feige, I think. He kind of oversees most of their stuff.
Fuck Mark Millar.
But he basically seems to... There is still some talk of uniting the X-Men and Fantastic Four universes, I think especially in wake of the soft reboot the X-Men are going through. And someone apparently advised Sony to build a long-term Spider-Man plan that would have a massive crossover finish, i.e. take these new Spider-Man movies with Sinister Six, with Venom, with the all-female Spider-Man movie and kind of have them all build to something. Have a plan. What a concept.
Oh, my God.
And have them build to Spider-Island.
Can you imagine, like, a movie set maybe, like, 40 years ago where Aunt May's, like, a super spy, and then, like, future times or, like, today times or whatever, she teams up again with, like, or for the first time with Spider-Man and is like, hey, I'm here doing super stuff. And Spider-Man's like, whoa.
Wasn't there a rumor about awesome. An Ant-Man
There was
May
rumor about an Ant-Man
like,
movie.
Would it have been an adaptation of Trouble or something like, else?
I no. fucking hope not. God damn.
We can only hope so, actually.
No, we can't. All right, the last
like
bit.
You have a
Dude,
lifetime
I
original
really
movie.
I really wanted to buy that book, and he advised me not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, don't.
Don't. It's terrible.
Don't.
But it was on the cheap.
It's really bad.
All right.
You can get it from a library. You know.
I'll check.
Okay, also, the last tidbit, this is actually related to Warner Brothers now. Apparently, everything just runs through Sony. Sony's apparently like that guy everybody knows, and they find out everything.
So just email everyone.
But also buried in the email seems to be some confirmation that Jeff Nichols of the recent Mud, starring Matthew McConaughey, which was incredibly well-received, is either in talks or confirmed at this point to direct the Aquaman movie with Jason Momoa.
That's pretty cool.
And that would... He's a very... odd choice because I would not watch Mud and go this guy would be great for Aquaman.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually kind of the last thing I'd think.
Then again, you don't really watch Community and say these guys would be great for.
You don't. You do not. I will fully admit that. I did not necessarily watch Slither or Super and go this James Gunn guy would be great for Guardians of the Galaxy. But it's so some and apparently the guys that did this are. Claim they've got a lot. I mean, we've seen even more like unrelated stuff. Like we've seen the stuff where Channing Tatum and Chris Pratt apparently want to make a Ghostbusters
really,
movie.
Really want to make a Ghostbusters
movie. And like Channing Tatum is begging Sony to let him make this movie. Like even in addition to the one Paul Feig is making. And so
yeah, he wants it to tie in. He's like, it'll be a spinoff of that one. And it'll be like a serious horror movie, except really fucking fun.
So we'll see.
So like really Airplane, fun. Just make it like super deadpan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
I love Airplane. But anyway, so these Sony hacks have just been going deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's becoming like Sonyception at this point.
Yeah.
It's like Sony doesn't even know what Sony's doing.
I just think it's funny that you refer to it as Sony hacks, and I also think of the term hack like you're a hack writer.
Oh, no.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Sony hacks.
Sony
those hacks at Sony.
They got hacked.
But no, there's just been a ton of stuff that's leaked out because of this. How much of it's true? How much of it's bunk? I don't really know.
You know, there's a class action lawsuit against Sony now because of, like, there was that document that had, like, all the passwords and social security numbers and, like, medical information and shit of their employees.
Wow.
Which, I don't know.
I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's not really their fault for getting hacked. You can't really, I mean, I guess you could. I don't know.
You can make all the preparations you want in the world, but there's still probably somewhere out. Somebody out there that can get in if they want.
Like North Korea, apparently.
I don't think North Korea is the one actually doing this.
You think it's someone playing North Korea?
Yeah.
North Korea's dead.
CIA.
It's North Korea's dad. Which means it would be the CIA. Oh, man.
So,
I make us laugh.
In news destined to piss off the fanboys, Axis...
So mad.
We're mad, right?
Yes,
sorry.
Axis number 7 has revealed that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are not actually the children of Magneto. And as a result, most likely no longer mutants.
Never saw it coming.
Oh.
I think they're the Wizard's kids, again.
The Wizard?
They were the Wizard.
The Wizard.
The Wizard?
The Wizard.
Oh, speaking of, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Like that.
Oh, you mean like the speedster,
like the speedster
from the fucking 40s?
From the 40s.
Who? What team was he on?
Squadron Supreme.
Wasn't Miss America
later.
Their mom? No, not Miss America. Some other lady.
I don't know.
Some other superhero one, though.
American Maid. Wait,
that's
wrong.
The tick, you idiot.
But no, the Wizard.
Is that the yellow guy with the ears things?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
good.
So
him. He was like originally supposedly their dad, and then Marvel was like, no, Magneto's gonna reveal that he is actually their dad.
Look, man, they're Inhumans. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, probably.
Most likely. I mean, it's... I don't know. At this point, it feels like they are trying to distance themselves from Fox.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know?
Oh, yeah. This move can't be seen. And, you know, I know Brevoort and Alonso and all them are... They're making their overtures that, no, We're just telling the best story we think is possible, but
absolutely not, because I read that.
And it's annoying to me because I'm like, you know what? If you're doing that, fine, own it. Mm-hmm. Like, don't pretend. Don't say it has stripes when it has spots. I mean, call it what it is. I mean, it's you're doing this on purpose to do your best to distance yourself. And then, I mean, I understand they probably can't specifically tell us that, but then just it's insulting to the fans, I think, to make a change like this, especially when it involves the movies. Those things you keep claiming don't influence your publishing line. Yeah. Like, they keep making all these overtures that the movies don't affect our publishing line, but yet stuff like this, it can't be seen as anything but.
Here's the thing. Like they, like he said, or they said, it's in the best interest of telling the best stories possible.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone can fix this and make it into a really good story. I'm looking at you, Charles Soule. But, like, it's absolutely hilarious that they think, you know, like, this, I don't even know. I literally don't even know because I lost my train of thought. But it's still stupid. It's one of those things, if you write a good story,
yeah,
I don't care. Itself. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's but just funny when to me you that it's when like, you put something in.
Polaris is now officially Magneto's daughter, but now Quicksilver is Scarlet Witch.
Squicks.
Those guys.
Yeah, Squicks.
They're no longer his kids.
Yeah.
So it's like a complete switch of like how things were.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
But anyway, like I was saying, if they put this in a much better story, I wouldn't give two shits.
Yeah.
Because as the story is good, you can fucking tell me anything.
Yeah.
But when it's just like, you know, I cast a rage spell and now I'm upset because I inverted myself somehow. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to cast a spell that's going to hurt all the children of Magneto. Or all the line of Magnus. And then I fucking do it and...
It only hurts Quicksilver and not Magneto.
Or, yeah, whatever. Whatever he did. It was going to hurt...
The bloodline.
And then Quicksilver gets hurt. And then she's like... This is her reaction. Like, Magneto, like, drops to the floor and is like, my son. And Scarlet Witch is like, essentially, I'm boiling this down. Are you fucking kidding me? You're not even hurt. We're not even your kids.
And she's
You've
like,
been lying to us the entire time. Like, that's
like,
pretty much...
She literally is just like, happened. You're not our father. Good.
Yeah. Damn. Like, it's like, really? That's how you handled it? The best story possible?
Mm-hmm.
I sum it up with the second line here. Boo earns. Let's talk about something a little bit better. Peyton List is going to be joining The Flash as Golden Glider. Captain Cold naturally was introduced in season's episode 4 or 5, wasn't it? Wentworth Miller of Prison Break.
It doesn't really matter.
Wentworth Miller, anyway, played Captain Cold, and Dominic Purcell will be debuting in episode 10 as Heatwave. But Golden Glider...
Also known as Dracula from Blade Trinity.
Peyton List is going to be playing Lisa Snart, a.k.a. Golden Glider, another one of the Flash's rogues, and she's going to set to debut in the 16th episode of the series, and her description reads as, quote, a wild child and anxious to prove to her older brother she's got what it takes to be in his criminal gang. She is sly, charming, and even a little sadistic. She's also not afraid to use her sexuality to get what she wants, which will put her on a collision course with Star Labs employee and friend of the Flash and future Vibe, Cisco Ramon. Like I said, we'll see it in episode 16, but,
That's a
Wait, Vibe in episode 16?
No. We'll see her in 16.
Up. We're saying Cisco Ramon.
Cisco Ramon will eventually be Vibe.
Okay.
In theory.
He will.
And Caitlin Snow will eventually be Killer Frost.
All right. And this broke, like...
Well, we saw the rumors about... This is still reports, I guess, at this point, but...
But Viola Davis has reportedly been cast as Amanda Waller, which is cool. She's a great actress. I love her.
She's not Oprah.
Yeah, I really wanted Oprah Winfrey to be the Wall. Yeah. Just because, I mean...
You get a suicide mission. You get a suicide mission. Everybody gets a suicide mission.
It'd be great. I love that. My favorite gif on the internet is the one with the bees. Where she opens up the thing and the bees pop out. And she's just like, bees! And everyone's like, bees! And she's just like...
I think I gotta go with Tom Cruise doing the force lightning on her. Like that one where he like grabs her hands and he's like,
oh, that
somebody put in the force lightning. And I was like, that's pretty much the greatest thing ever.
Bees.
Bees. So you guys ever seen? You guys ever seen the remake of The Wicker Man? You guys ever seen the remake of Wicker Man with Nick Cage?
That's the one I'm yeah. singing.
Literally, the last line of the movie is, "You bitches, it's all for honey," and then dies. I'm like,
oh my god!
This is why Nick Cage is the greatest actor in the history of humanity.
Have you ever seen the original Wicker Man?
What?
Have you ever seen the original?
Oh yeah, that movie's fucked up.
Fuck yeah, the movie is amazing. Yes, with Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee is the most brutal motherfucker ever. I love that guy.
And now he records heavy metal Christmas songs.
I fucking love that.
He's 94.
I know, he's amazing.
And the singles aren't half bad either.
I know.
That's the best part.
He recorded a heavy metal concept album about Charlemagne.
Yes.
There's only one man on this planet who could do that, and it's Christopher Lee. He's the only guy that could get away with that, yeah. And he does in spades.
I hope he dies at a heavy metal concert, just fucking shredding.
Apparently, he actually met Tolkien. He's the only cast or crew member of Lord of the Rings who did.
He got the blessing to play Gandalf.
But then when they were making Lord of the Rings, he openly said, he's like, I'm too fucking old. Like, it was not an instance of they snubbed him from it. He specifically said, no, I'm too old. He didn't believe he could do it well.
He was pretty amazing as Saruman anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Lee, by now, is known kind of as, like, one of the universal bad guys almost, so... It made sense to put him there.
His biography is at the library.
I imagine it's awesome.
Or at bookstores or like Amazon.
No, but I just love that.
Well, if it's at the library, you wouldn't have to. You only have to sign up for the library.
I'm just saying, it's not exclusive to the library.
Yes, it is. It's the only place on the planet.
Look, my tax dollars paid for that book. So, by God.
You know what?
It's technically, yeah, exactly.
That's a damn good way of looking at the library. I own everything in this bitch.
I almost got arrested because I had that policy. Because I didn't take them back.
Remember, at some point today, we were thankful for not being in jail.
We're getting there.
I should be the most thankful of all.
Yes.
No, I think it was my parents that were thankful that I wasn't in jail.
Someone was.
Yeah.
But we were also thankful. I could also be thankful.
Yeah.
Jail seems like it sucks. The toilet out in the open. Have you been?
I've been locked up for a few hours and then got left.
Do you have to pee?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, yeah. No,
man, these episodes are going to strange, unusual places.
They didn't scare the shit out of me, and I did see somebody get their ass kicked. My short dude. It was really funny. It was actually like really, really
that
funny.
Vince laugh. Your laugh is the same every time. All right. That's going to wrap up our news for this week. We're going to kind of forego a topic. Dusty, do you need a break?
No.
Okay. good. So we're going to keep going.
The way he just said that matter-of-factly, no. I don't.
So we're going to jump right into our picks of the week and get those going and wrap this up. Maybe a little early.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go first because I have the least amount of comics.
Sure, go ahead.
Captain Marvel number 10, because it's the 100th solo issue for Captain Marvel. Or,
nice.
I guess, former Miss Marvel.
Cool.
Still written by Kelly Sue DeConnick. I don't know, I'm excited about it. Miss Marvel number 10, because that book's just always fun.
Yeah.
And I'm totally digging the adventures of Kamala Khan. And Batman and Robin number 37. It's the penultimate issue.
Yeah, I'm also really excited for this issue.
Yeah. So, either this issue or next issue, Damian's coming back.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of stoked about. I mean, I thought...
The story's been great.
Yeah,
the story's
been
great. The way that Tomasi's done
and, I mean, I just love the fact that Batman's like, oh, these aliens from another dimension or whatever, gods or whoever, just took my kid and, like, wanted to bring him back for some reason and turn him into a weapon. Fuck that noise. I'm going in.
I'm building myself a fucking suit and going in.
Like, it's amazing.
Because I'm the goddamn Batman.
Exactly. And then all his old Bat friends are like, nah, we're not letting you go alone. He's like, alright, cool.
So they all show up in Robin costumes, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Red Robin in a Robin costume. Red Hood in a Robin costume. Batgirl in a
Robin
costume. Dick Grayson's still fake dead.
Dead, yeah.
Cyborg's there, too.
Cyborg?
Cyborg?
Is he in a Robin costume?
I wish.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Meredith.
Robin Codpiece.
Meredith is going to have a couple of books she's going to talk about. They're not new picks from this week, but they're two books that jumped out to her from recent weeks.
Bitch Planet.
Fuck yeah.
God, Bitch Planet.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
You guys read it?
Nope.
Yes, I have.
What'd you think?
It was pretty good.
I am on... I buy every Image comic a month late because it's cheaper.
Ah.
Whatever.
No, highly recommended.
I remember all that foul controversy. Excuse me. When that other writer who wrote the woman prison space comic got all pissed.
Like, yo, I already did that shit. And it's like, yo.
Women in prison space comic is such a broad concept that there's so many different directions you could take it in.
No!
Even
there's
then.
There's only one story to tell, and yeah, she exactly. told it
just
first.
Just the one direction. Hey.
But.
They're all banned. Check it out.
I mean, even Kelly Sue DeConnick said that she.
You know,
started.
I thought One Direction and One Republic were the same band for a little bit.
I can understand that.
You're a terrible person. Okay, what did Kelly start saying?
Oh, even Kelly Sue DeConnick said that she had started out writing what was going to be this ultra-campy exploitation homage to the women in prison movies and sci-fi movies and all that really awesome B-movie shit.
Yeah.
And it evolved from there to be a reflection on the role of women in society as well as the prison system in general.
Ugh, and it's fucked.
Yeah. But in
Dan Aykroyd makes a joke in Trading Places about how bad the prison system is, and that was 1983. And,
and you know,
we're not much different.
Well, okay, check this out, right? There was a woman in Texas that was sentenced to life in prison, like, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, like, serial murdered, like, 47 babies. Mm-hmm. She was a nurse.
Yeah.
She's getting released next year because of overcrowding. Just think about that. Let's all think about that. Email your congressman.
Anyway.
In any case, that was...
Bitch Planet's good.
No, Bitch Planet is fantastic.
That's Kelly Sue, and who's the artist on? Is that Valentin Delandro?
Yeah, and I think that at the rate it's going, this could be our generation's Handmaid's Tale.
Vince Maybe wants to see the naked people.
Yeah. No, speaking of naked people, and that's one thing that there's a lot of compliments on is the body diversity.
Yeah.
In this book, is that there's women of all different shapes and sizes. Literally.
Didn't Valentin Delandro do X Factor once upon a time?
I don't know.
Yes.
That was Dusty. I was asking because he's the X Factor. He's the X Factor. Yeah, I say I remember. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Bitch Planet has been getting pretty rave reviews across the board.
And of course.
Secret Six.
Number one.
The return of Secret Six from Gail Simone, the highly anticipated return. Gail Simone, covers by Dale Eaglesham and interiors by Ken Lashley, and those two will apparently be trading off as the series goes forward. So
that's
the second arc will be by Eaglesham and Ken Lashley. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, I'm so happy to have Catman back.
Everyone is.
Everyone
Most
is
of all Catman.
Not a damn dirty commie anyways. But no, I love it. It's dark, and it's got Gail Simone's signature snarky sense of humor, and I'm excited to see where this one goes. The first, it's a very more thriller horror than you know the superhero kind of book, and it's the only two real familiar faces
Catman
to me.
And Ragdoll?
Catman and Black Alice.
Black Alice, right. But we were just talking. We actually no. You will hear us talk about this in the future. But how we think that Secret Six is. I still think it's Gail Simone's best work.
Oh, absolutely.
And I made a comparison to Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol. You're able to take characters that have this kind of very cult following, so you can kind of shape and kind of morph them into any way you see fit. It still was within the realm of the characters, but you have a lot more freedom than you would say on Batman.
Yeah.
So I think Secret Six is. Pretty, her run, I think, is probably the best of her discography, her bibliography. But,
discography.
I'll go next, and then we'll let Dusty run through his book of books. But for me, it's the next part of Endgame, Batman 37.
Yes.
Fucking
excited.
This series has been Scott Snyder's massive return to the Joker, and it's been insane. The two issues we've got are awesome. And I only anticipate
I love the new look of the Joker.
Oh, yeah,
just
fantastic.
Throw that out there, like.
I like the last Leatherface look, too, but this one works, too.
Can't make a new face. I don't even care how he got a new face. But
isn't he in somebody else's body? Mm-hmm. No, that's something else. A flashback to Return of the Joker. Never mind. Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. But anyway, so Batman 37, check it out. This is Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. They are doing great work here. And they know it's slowing down, so. Next up is Justice League 37. This is the next part of The Amazovirus by Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok. They are going to be taking Justice League up to March. They're going to start the prelude to the Darkseid War. Apparently, we can at least count on the Justice League book returning, as Darkseid War is likely going to happen next summer. It is apparently where Justice League has been going since the beginning, when Darkseid showed up and stomped their asses.
Nice.
Because seriously, he shows up in issue 6 and like beats the shit out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because that's what Darkseid does. Until he faces Batman, and Batman takes him on single-handedly. Because he's goddamn Batman. But I've really been enjoying Justice League. This kind of villain-centric stuff we've gotten from Johns is where he thrives, so I'm really excited about it. It's been really good. Next up, Multiversity Strikes Again with Multiversity Thunderworld number 1. This is the Multiversity Captain Marvel issue.
Nice.
With art by Cameron Stewart, who writes Batgirl and is pretty much one of the best kind of pop artists in the modern comics. And pretty much Grant Morrison and Cameron Stewart on Captain Marvel is... I'd read that forever.
Did you guys ever read Sea Guy?
Yes.
I've read some of them.
That's to me my favorite.
That's out of print and it bothers me.
I know.
It's on Comixology, so it doesn't bother me.
I'm still adjusting. next up, Sandman Overture number 4. This is the long-awaited fourth issue of Sandman Overture. I say long-awaited because I don't even remember when issue 3 came out.
Because I've been waiting.
But, this series has been really good, and so far it's been a fairly worthy predecessor to the Sandman book. I mean, it's Gaiman and J.H. Williams, so, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful result either way. And, the book's been going on pretty well here, and so I'm excited to see where it goes and where it ends up concluding next summer.
Sometime.
In the summer of 2016. It's going to be the best book of 2017. But Sandman Overture, that one, like I said, it's been a slow burn, but I'm excited. And lastly, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about this, but Rocket Salvage number 1 from our friend Yehudi Mercado and artist... I forget the artist's name, sorry. But this is his next big book from Arkea, a imprint of Boom Studios. He rant and raved about this book on our previous episode, so yeah. I definitely recommend checking out that series.
Really looking forward
checking out that interview to see to hear him talk about it a little bit more in depth. But the first issue was great. A lot of heart, a lot of great energy, a lot of great flow to the art. Really great stuff. And I'll talk about it maybe a little bit more in depth in the new year, or maybe when issue 2 drops. But I don't
if we can get him on again.
Oh yeah, we should definitely look at that. But a lot of cool stuff in Rocket Salvage. So. Check it out if you get a chance. All right, Dusty, run through your picks real quick.
All right. No particular order here. Kamal Macabre, Third Child, number 4. Love this damn book. Cal McDonald's like one of my all-time favorite protagonists. So I think I realized that when one of the issues, he had apparently taken a pill that he had found in his pocket, didn't know what he was. He was like, it always sucks to find out that aspirin you thought was, the pill you thought was aspirin, it was actually LSD, but while you're fighting a monster in downtown New York.
That always sucks. I hate that.
It was just great, you know. All right, Witches number 3. New one from Snyder, Jock, and Matt Hollingsworth. These guys are fucking killing it.
They're tearing it up,
yeah.
This comic is awesome, and I'm really excited for this one. Dark Horse Presents number 5 is one of the best little anthology books out there. It's just a mix, wide mix of different stories and stuff. And it's really cool. You get some really good stories that you wouldn't get anywhere else. Intersect number 2, new one from Ray Fox. Moon Knight number 10, just enjoying Brian Wood's Moon Knight. Looking forward to the Cullen Bunn one as well. And then Rumble number 1.
This is John Arcudi?
This is John Arcudi. So this is the guy that created the fucking mask. Alright?
Is it?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Cool. Damn.
With Doug Monkey.
No shit.
Yeah.
It's gotta be Mankey, right?
Mankey, whatever. But,
isn't that a Pokemon?
He's doing it with...
Mankey is a Pokemon.
Comic is drawn by James Herron?
Yeah. Of BPRD. Of
BPRD, yeah. And this guy is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So really, really looking forward to that. Then Wiccan Divine number 6.
This is...
Divine number 6.
This is, what is it, Gillen and McKelvey?
Gillen and McKelvey, yeah. Mm-hmm. Zero number 13. This series is really cool. Each issue is done by a different artist.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's really just every time you know, new issues, and you're not really too sure what to expect.
You know who publishes?
Image. It's Image.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Alice Cott writing.
Yes, it is Alice Cott writing. And
he also does the Winter Soldier book, I think.
And actually, a reprint of an old issue, well, of an old comic. It's a 72-page, oversized, it's the Ghoul Treasury edition. And these things are huge. But the best part about it is it's $10.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean...
They're big oversized reprints of stuff, and they're awesome.
Yeah, and just in black and white, and it's by Steve Niles and Bernie Wrightson.
Oh, man.
And so it's done at the size that, like, Bernie draws.
Man.
You know? And so it's just the artwork, the way it was meant to be seen. You know, and just pure black and white, it's going to be great. So pick that up, only $10. Great buy.
Definitely worth it. Those Treasury editions, it's IDW that does those?
It is.
Yeah, they look really great, and they're pretty.
IDW absolutely kills it when it comes to, like, oversized, like...
Oh yeah,
IDW does a great job with those.
They're awesome.
But, all right, we're gonna, like, we're at an hour. We're right at an hour, so we kind of wrapped it up really
this week. Never happened before.
And it will never happen again.
Hell yeah.
Maybe next week for our special, but after that, never again.
Hell yeah.
But, we want to thank Meredith again for joining us and dealing with our incessant rambling.
Thank you for having me on, and also you make it sound like I'm not already used to your incessant rambling.
That's true. That's very true. But we'll be back at you guys next week. We're going to talk about a documentary called She Makes Comics. Meredith will join us for our discussion on that as well. And then...
because she's a girl, guys.
Yeah.
That's my only qualification. Yeah. It's not the fact that I'm a writer, editor,
we call her.
It's the only reason. Like that.
Yeah.
None of that. I don't have any qualifications.
We'll be back at you next week. Anything to add, guys?
Man, I'm tired. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right, guys. Be safe, and we'll see y'all next week for our discussion about She Makes Comics, and then we'll see you again after that, or we'll see you on another time.
Right. So we're either going to see you again another time this year,
unless you see us first.
In the new year, but we're coming back for more God Hates Comics.